We've heard from Dave Chappelle, and back in radio school, they taught us, no matter the format, always play the hits. So the front half of today's podcast will be Chappelle and Mulaney. But first, let's start with late night. There's a new report in Rolling Stone magazine alleging several members of Trump's White House staff were involved in the January 6th insurrection. Oh, no. Stephen Colbert said it's a real Ocean's 11 of people who can't count to 10. Kimmel, what a sad lineup it is. It's the Legion of Dumb, Seth Meyers. I, for one, am shocked that Congress had anything to do with it because it nearly worked. Colbert, one of the organizers, said, I remember Marjorie Taylor Greene specifically. Yes, I can imagine it's hard to forget someone who tells you forest fires are caused by circumcised space lasers. Seth, blanket pardon sounds like the kind of made-up fake legal thing that these doofuses would say. It's a weird feature of our politics that the most sinister characters are also the biggest morons. Kimmel, Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona was named too. This guy, when he was running for office, six of his siblings, his own brothers and sisters, made an attack ad against him and called him a traitor. Before he was one of the most hated members of Congress, he was the most hated member of his family. Kimmel, he reportedly told the organizers they would get a blanket pardon from Trump, and they were all like, well, if there's one thing we know about Donald Trump, he's as good as his word. Larry David was on with James Corden, and he was thrown off by the layout of the set because the guest is on the opposite side of where they are on all the other shows. Larry David equates it to being because James Corden likes driving on the other side of the road. Tracy Morgan went on Jimmy Kimmel dressed in a Superman costume. Is Tracy Morgan getting ready for Halloween? Morgan said, no, I'm out there fighting crime on them streets. He then riffed about his life as Brooklyn's own Man of Steel. Tracy said, I just got tired of Superman being white. He talked about how Aquaman keeps trying to push up on Lois Lane and how his white Kansas adoptive parents can't hold a candle to his Kryptonian dad, Darrell, and how whether a Superman or his alter ego, Derek Kent, a.k.a. D-Lo, is only susceptible to one substance in the universe. And apparently the punchline there was cream of wheat. Kimmel pointed out DC Comics is currently shopping around the idea of a big screen black Superman. Tracy Morgan patted his gut and said, well, here he is. Has he been working out in preparation for the role? Morgan said, nope. If Robert Pattinson can claim to be pulling a Christian Bale-style method body transformation for his turn at the Batsuit, then Tracy can let the studio's CGI department take care of things in the skin-tight spandex department. We've heard from Dave Chappelle. He put out an Instagram video. Dave said, I said what I said. It's been said in the press that I was invited to speak to the transgender employees of Netflix and I refused. That is not true. If they had invited me, I would have accepted it, although I'm confused about what would be speaking about. I said what I said, and boy, I heard what you said. My God, how could I not? You said you want a safe working environment at Netflix? It seems like I'm the only one that can't go to the office anymore. I want everyone in the audience to know that even though the media frames it that it's me versus that community, that's not what it is. Do not blame the LGBTQ community for any of this crap. This has nothing to do with them. It's about corporate interests and what I can say and what I cannot say. For the record, and I need you to know this, said Dave Chappelle, everyone I know from that community has been loving and supporting, so I don't know what all this nonsense is about. Dave announced a tour for his documentary about the 2020 comedy tour, saying it's been excluded from film festivals, quoting Dave Chappelle. This film that I made was invited to every film festival in the United States, and some of those invitations I accepted. When this controversy came out about The Closer, they began disinviting me from these film festivals. And now today, not a film company, not a movie studio, not a film festival, nobody will touch this film. Thank God for Ted Sarandos and Netflix. He's the only one that didn't cancel me yet. Dave said he was willing to meet with members of the trans community, but he jokingly made some conditions. Here are the conditions. To the transgender community, I am more than willing to give you an audience, but you will not summon me. I'm not bending to anybody's demands, and if you want to meet with me, I'd be more than willing to, but I have some conditions. First of all, you cannot come if you have not watched my special from beginning to end. You must come to my place of choosing at my time of choosing. And thirdly, you must admit that Hannah Gatsby is not funny. I will come back to that. Chappelle closed out the video saying he will make his movie available in 10 cities and then asked the audience, am I canceled or not? You'll be able to see this movie in its entirety and you can see what they're trying to obstruct you from seeing and you can judge for yourself, but you cannot have this conversation and exclude my voice from it. That is only fair. I think Dave there is conflating. I don't think anybody's complaining about the special, which is about his comedy shows outdoors in Ohio during the pandemic. I don't think anybody's complaining about that. What the discussion has been around is about The Closer, which is something else. So I don't think going to see the untitled documentary kind of changes anything. I'll give you some cities and dates since there are only 10 of them. November 4th, San Francisco. November 7th, Minneapolis. Des Moines on the 9th. Indianapolis on the 12th. Cleveland on the 14th. Toronto on the 15th. Cincinnati on the 17th. Columbus on the 19th. The 21st, Atlanta. And November 22nd in New York. And again, I'll push back on some of Dave's points. It says here, get tickets at Live Nation. Live Nation is like the biggest ticket company in the country, if not the world. So clearly corporate America has sided up with Dave Chappelle, at least on this tour. As for the free shot on Hannah Gadsby, as you can imagine, some of her fans did not enjoy it. Healthcare advocate Kendall Brown said, Hannah Gadsby's living rent-free in the heads of every male comedian in existence and absolutely eating them up inside. And for that and among other things, I love her very much. I don't know, is Jim Gaffigan sitting home thinking about Hannah Gadsby? I don't think so, healthcare advocate Kendall Brown. I get what you're saying about Chappelle, but I don't know. Is Tom Segura sitting home thinking about Hannah Gadsby? I don't think so. Comedian Dan Teffler said, Hannah Gadsby is too smart and funny to deserve having the most self-righteous dumb F's in comedy drag her into the conversation. Sean Kent, a comedian, said, Chappelle seems super drunk and self-pitying. Totally unnecessary to take a shot at Hannah Gadsby and sick his internet trolls on her. Sports reporter Sarah Spain said, a cool thing I've seen happening recently, and also for my entire life, is men saying things aren't funny, inspiring, or worthwhile because they don't appeal specifically to them. See Hannah Gadsby? Certain Nike ads? Very cool thing that definitely doesn't make me want to start fires. Let's bounce on over to Gossip Corner. Olivia Munn. You know Olivia Munn, she's having a baby with John Mulaney. Are they still a couple? Who knows? But Olivia Munn told Entertainment Tonight that she and Justine Bateman, who directed the actress in her latest film, Violet, had a lengthy chat about the best parts of motherhood. Munn said, Justine and I had a long conversation about this the other day. Honestly, I'm just excited about meeting whoever it is and bringing a little person into this world. Is she still a couple with John Mulaney? Who knows? Come back to Gossip Corner tomorrow. Paste Magazine saw one of John Mulaney's recent shows and wrote, who could have predicted John Mulaney would have the most tabloid-covered year? The author says, I saw a show from his most recent stint in Philadelphia. It's important to state that the show is undeniably funny. Mulaney, a true comedian's comedian, long ago perfected his delivery. I'll just combine topics. You think John Mulaney's sitting home thinking about Hannah Gadsby? I don't think so. And just for the record, I love Hannah Gadsby. I thought that special last year. I can never remember. I either had that as number one or two. Go back and listen to the December episodes, whatever I said. It was definitely in my top two of funniest things of 2020. So it's not like I'm anti-Hannah Gadsby. I just don't think she's living rent-free in the head of every male comedian. For example, John Mulaney, who knows how to write for his own voice and knows what material is most reliable. Mulaney's new show makes it clear how intensely he is aware that the public has generally turned on him. It's hard to avoid referencing the fact that everybody hates his baby, those are his words, and that he's not exactly the same person audiences knew him as. And while there's an undeniably conflicted feelings about this turn, Mulaney says he wants to use this as an opportunity to reinvent himself as a comedian. From scratch, has Mulaney trying out new areas of comedy that have previously been more distant for him. The most notable is an increased amount of impressions, which he puts on display during the headlining bit about the show about his celebrity-packed intervention with his fellow comedians. He also ventures into new types of physical comedy. This is interesting, right? Stepping away from his energy-filled strides across the stage and replacing them with waddling feet and other mannerisms more akin to an actor than a writer, he becomes more exaggerated when doing his most prominent impression himself when he wasn't sober. John Mulaney admits that his high-energy performances are behind him. The comedian is older and trying to stay sober, so he's creating a new type of persona that adapts to his new reality. Really interesting. There are obvious territories Mulaney won't cross into. While his delivery is perfect, as an audience member, it's hard to laugh at jokes about how his substance abuse issues began at only 5 years old. There's a setup that describes how to get a legal drug prescription that should definitely be cut. Sometimes a bit will go so specific that it feels like he's telling you something only a close friend would, but that's the problem and the main boundary Mulaney's trying to establish. He's not your friend. No one in the audience knows John Mulaney. We have only known the persona he's created. Mulaney makes reference to his fan base of teenage girls and the fact that everybody seems to have an opinion on how he should live his life, and he's sick of all of it. While his material is changing slightly, he wants his audience to change too. Really good stuff from Paste here. They write, the biggest issue at the heart of From Scratch undercuts the whole show. Mulaney is clearly not removed enough from a situation to talk about it on stage. The boundary between stand-up and personal realization has been blurred in recent years. Hannah Gatsby's Nanette is a prime example, but there are also stand-up shows like Jenny Slate's Stage Fright and Simon Astell's Set Free that put vulnerability on display as the comedians discussed intensely personal details from their life. But these comedians talked about events years in the past or realizations they had come to make after a long length of time considering and evaluating their thoughts. Mulaney's only been out of rehab for 8 months. He talks about his addiction in the past tense, but he's still deep in recovery. While he talks about gratitude for being out of the place he was last year, he's not far enough away to be doing an hour-long special about his struggles. There's a moment when Mulaney talks about his relationship with his former drug dealer that stands out. He's trying to make jokes, but the story at its core is so heart-wrenchingly sad that there were hardly any laughs. The audience reacted in a chorus of "oh no's" and "ahs" as if they'd just seen a puppy rescued from danger. The background of the joke was so depressing that we weren't ready to laugh. Mulaney's clearly at a crossroads. He wants to move on and reinvent himself to create a new persona. He wants to mature to try new things, but he also needs more time and he's giving himself to work through what he's feeling. At some point in the show, when a joke didn't land very well, Mulaney said, "Well, that joke was cathartic for me. That might be true of From Scratch as a whole. Maybe he needs this mess as catharsis so he can move on to his new identity as a comedian." Pace says, "I just hope he doesn't have too much of himself on the stage now before he's ready." Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the new podcast, Where the Living Meet the Dead. Halloween's coming. You gotta be in the mood for some spooky stories, right? Raconteur Robert Edgley tells ghost stories from one of our favorite ghoulish cities, Savannah, Georgia. This guy, Robert, he's got like that perfect Southern storyteller voice. You got to check this thing out. Robert has curated tales that are a mixture of myths, murders, and suspense that takes your imagination winding down the cobblestone streets of one of the oldest and most curious of cities, Savannah, Georgia, Where the Living Meet the Dead, Where the Living Meet the Dead, available now wherever you get your podcast. Check that out. Hey, it's LJ Kenny. Bought me two coffees at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Today is the second. Today, Kenny, I want peanut butter cup. And I'm going to make a ruling here. Caramel is much better than peanut butter cup. Back to caramel tomorrow, but I'm going to have to buy my own unless one of you guys hooks me up like Kenny did. Thank you, Kenny. At buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Also, I was listening to another podcast that also uses Buy Me a Coffee. That guy's using his money for beer. Now, tonight, you know, second Glenn that I use in the bits, if you're a new listener, there are two Glens. First Glenn is my friend in real life, but he hit me up for money because I was talking about him in the podcast. So I'm not talking about that guy at all. There's a second Glenn, who's the one I use in bits, who definitely does not deserve any royalties. I know they have the same name and they're very similar, but second Glenn is definitely not the guy that I know who hit me up for money. Second Glenn and I are doing trivia night at the brewery tonight. Beer's like $7. So, I don't know, you could go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and throw $7 in the tip jar and I could buy a beer. Plus, at some point, second Glenn's going to be like, "Hey, it's your round," and then I'm going to have to shell out for $14. This stuff's not cheap, this trivia. From Yahoo, we found out the cause of death of Trevor Moore. He died on August 7th from blunt force trauma to the head. This was confirmed by People. His death was ruled an accident by the medical examiner coroner. No additional information was provided. Trevor Moore from The Whitest Kids You Know. What a loss there. Bobcat Goldthwait has a new documentary called Joyride, which follows Bobcat and fellow comic Dana Gould on the road together, traveling from gig to gig. Bobcat said part of it was just the idea of filming it, because you do so many shows on the road, and often those are the best shows, and they're never captured. The other part was zeroing in on the relationship, which was initially contentious early in their careers. That long-ago friction is an undercut throughout the movie, writes Yahoo, Bobcat said. I think at that point in my career, I was a bit of a loudmouth and a bully, and I didn't like Dana. I was startled and shocked to realize how afraid of me he was, and I actually found some footage of me being very unpleasant towards him on stage. Doesn't make him look good, but the footage is in the movie as well, Bobcat said. My instincts as a storyteller won out over my ego. Hey, remember that Joan Rivers biopic they were going to make, and Sarah Silverman was upset about it because Catherine Hahn would have played Joan Rivers, and Catherine Hahn is not Jewish? Never mind. The project called The Comeback Girl had been announced last month. It'd been in development at Showtime. Not happening now. Joan Rivers' life rights are held by daughter Melissa Rivers, and they hadn't been secured by the producers. What are you guys doing? Variety points out the project could have proceeded as an unauthorized venture, but The Comeback Girl wouldn't have been able to use any of Joan Rivers' jokes or catchphrases, and of course risk running afoul of Melissa Rivers and the estate. The limited series was set during a precarious time in Joan Rivers' life. the aftermath of the cancellation of her late night show on Fox, and that period coincided with the death by suicide of Joan Rivers' husband. Does Melissa Rivers have any plans for a biopic about her mother? Her spokesperson said there's nothing to be announced yet. I don't know if they hung the yet out there, if they said, there's nothing to be announced yet, or if is it, there's nothing to be announced yet. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. See you tomorrow.